First Samuel for a few minutes. We got to constantly stir each other up.
Yeah, amen.
You just can't preach one message and think that's, you know, a lot of times you preach one message, but a lot of people, you know, you think, well, I wish so-and-so was here, I wish so-and-so was there, and all that for the message. And we had a lot of people missing this morning, got some folks missing tonight, and people going through stuff, sickness and stuff. And you like to see people there, but in one message, you have to have something every week. That's why faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. I try to encourage people to get in church, stay in church. We had a young man come today that Eric is in the trailer park there where he lives, and Eric invited him. His name's Gabriel. He asked the Lord to save him today. Amen.
Amen.
But he come out and he said, I've asked the Lord before. He said, but I think I meant it today. I meant it. Amen. So that's a blessing. And we just want to be a friend to people, want to help them, and try to encourage them. Now, y'all know the story here, and what I want you to look at, what God did with David and Jonathan. And David and Jonathan was, God knitted their hearts together. And God knitted their hearts together, and you know, Bible talks about where two or three gathered together in his name, there he's in the midst. And God, how God knitted their hearts together is after a great battle. Yeah. And it was after a great battle that they went through. Both of them went through it. And David's the one that did the fighting. And they went through a great battle. David wasn't even looking for a battle. He was obeying his father. Goes out, and he goes out to carry some food out to his brothers. And his father said, go see how your brothers are doing and see how the battle's going and all that. So he goes out. And he gets there, and all of a sudden he's talking to his brothers and asking them how everything's going. You all been here 40 days, man, and what's happening? And then you know the story where Goliath comes out and starts calling the man out, and David goes, who is this? And you know, and David being a young youth, look at chapter 17, verse 33 says, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And he is a man of war from his youth. And the reason why we've gone after youth is because youth is what brought revival in the Bible. Amen. And here, a great revival takes place in the armies of Israel because a young man. And a young man can be used by God. And David was a wise young man, but he was a man that spent time with the Lord out there singing praises to God. And like I said this morning, I believe it's important to sing and sing praises to God. Have a song on your heart. I believe it's important. The right kind of music. It's the right. They're having the right kind of music. If not, the music brings spirits.
Right,
and music will bring spirits around you, and you'll get the wrong spirit.
Amen.
And it's just the bad spirits come and mess your mind up, and you start thinking wrong. And you start thinking wrong, it causes you to go astray. And David was a man of music as well. And that's why we believe music is very important in a Christian's life. And old preacher used to say there are three books that run the church. One of them is the Bible, and one of them is the songbook, and then one of them is the pocketbook, and one of them here. That's the three that run the church. And so the Bible is important, but singing is important. And singing the right songs and singing praises to God. And David was a young man. And God brought victory when he was out there. When you read the book of Psalms, you find David singing. It's songs. It's all songs. And then there's prophecy in the book of Psalms where David wrote. And, you know, it was prophecy about things to come, about the Lord coming back, about the second coming of Jesus Christ. All that was prophecy. He was singing it. And it was the Holy Ghost of God directing him. And the Bible says, and David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And he said, and I went out after him and smote him. David said, man, I wasn't going to let my little lambs. And that's type what a pastor does, is to protect the sheep from the lions and the bears.
Amen.
And that's what a pastor's supposed to do, go out and try to protect them and get the sheep out of the lion's mouth. Sheep always going astray. They always do. We've got... yesterday morning, I seen some young men And I was coming to prayer breakfast, and they were at the Kenton store. And I said, hey, guys, you all coming to prayer breakfast? And they said, no. I said, where y'all going? And they said, well, we're going to a pool tournament. And I said, pool tournament? He said, yeah, we're playing pool. And I said, well, you're going to be in church tomorrow, right? Yeah. I didn't show up. And I said, man, you got to put God first, man.
Amen. Yeah.
And I'm the pastor. I'm trying to protect them from the wolves, but sheep will go astray. And they'll constantly go out and go out and keep going out. And before long, the lion's going to get them.
Amen.
And we got to be concerned about enough about praying for them. And I say, you mad at them? No, I'm not mad. I'm praying for them. God, please protect them. God, help them. Help them to get back. Help them to get back to the place. And what happens is that they think things are so much more important than serving the Lord, so much more important than the church, so much more important than reading their Bible and praying, spending time witnessing for the Lord, telling other people about salvation. And about, I guarantee you, nobody's opened their mouth at the pool hall about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, I used to go in the pool hall right after I got saved. I went in there and started getting guys out of the pool hall and preaching to them. And that same pool hall I went into, guys were killed in that pool hall right in Washington, D.C. area. They were killed right there inside the pool hall and in the street. And pool hall is not a good place. They just opened up this pool hall in Smyrna. I told somebody, and somebody said, they got a bar. And I said, I probably will never go in that place. I like playing pool. I like it. I mean, I came up playing pool. I asked, are y'all any good? They said, yeah, we're good. I said, oh, good. I said, man, I'll get a pool table here and try them out. But we used to have one. But it's just, you know, the association of it. That's what the problem is. And the Bible says, I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, he says, I caught him by his beard. You know, David smelt that breath of that lion and that bear. And I mean, brother, I tell you what, a dog's breath is pretty bad. But can you imagine? He said, I got him by his beard. I mean, they were hand to hand, brother.
Yeah.
They were hand to hand. He had him by the beard, and he was smiting that lion, smiting that bear. And the Bible says, David's telling his credentials to Saul, the king, which Saul, the king, was about a foot and a half taller than David. If anybody should have went out and fought Goliath, it should have been Saul. But everybody was scared to death. Every time Goliath came out, they were shaking in their boots. David wasn't shaking.
Yeah.
He was just a youth, but he wasn't afraid of him. And so David goes out. Y'all know the story. And David said, the battle is the Lord's. And then chapter 18, look at here. It says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking on the Saul. This is after the victory. He cuts Goliath's head off with his own sword, Goliath's sword. And he's holding his head up. And the Philistines lied. They said, if you kill our man, he said, we'll serve you. If we kill your man, then you have to serve us. And they lied. They lied. Because as soon as he killed Goliath, they took off running. They thought, this is a little youth, little guy, whooping up on this 9-10 foot giant and cutting his head off, and he started running. And Jonathan was Saul's son. Jonathan had to be in his early 20s. David had to be a teenager, somewhere in there, 16 years old, 15, 16 years old. And here Jonathan's in his early 20s. And look what the Bible says. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking on the Saul, that Jonathan, the soul of Jonathan was knitted with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I mean, brother, there's a love, the Bible says, is above women. And it's a love, number one, love for God. And then a love for brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a love, real love. It's not no perverted love. The world has perverted love.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about a real love that you're not trying to get anything out of them, or they're not trying to get anything out of you. You just want to help them because you love them. And you want to see them succeed. You want to see them do right and do good. And that's a real love. And when you don't have no alternative motive that where you can get this and they can give you that and you can, you know, and kind of constantly trying to figure out a way. A man's always working in his mind, and he's always working. But when it comes down to real love for each other, it's not no perverted love. It's a love that you want to see them do good.
Right.
You want to see their families succeed. You want to see their children succeed. You rejoice when they rejoice, and you weep when they weep. I mean, it's all that what they're going through, you're going through it. And that's why our church is the way it is, because whenever one person's going through it, we all go through it with them, and we hurt for them.
Amen.
And the closer they are to each other, that's why I say man, being knitted together. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house. And then Jonathan and David, here it is, it's a type of Jesus Christ. It's a type of Jesus Christ in us. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. You know, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Check this out. Jesus Christ gives us his own righteousness. Amen. He takes our rags and gives us his righteousness. Look at here. Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord loves you. He loves you. You're his child. And when you do things and you start blaming God for all the problems and all the things in life, and you start saying it's God's fault and all that, I'm telling you what, it hurts him. It hurts him. And there's a lot of Christians, young people of today are out blaming God for all kinds of things that's happening in their life. I was telling somebody yesterday, there used to be a couple that I knew of, and the guy, they got money. They started getting money, and they got property. And then they had three or four children, and one of their children lived with Peggy and Squiggy, as she's a teenage girl. And they've gone off the deep end, man, just going out. But this guy had an opportunity, raising his children, him and his wife together. I married him years ago. I married him at least 20-some years ago. I married him. And they were in love. And, man, they were going to serve God. They're going to do all this stuff. They raising their children. And they went to a Mennonite church and started going to Mennonite, which, fine, that was fine. And they still believe the King James Bible and all that. And they were raising their kids, and they got money. He bought this property, and I went over to see it. He built barns. He did all this stuff, had all this great stuff. And he was showing me all this stuff, had an airstrip on the property. And then he subdivided the property, started selling that. And then he built it. But him and his wife, man, they started fighting like cats and dogs. They started fighting, and he called me up, and he said they've been to all these counselors. They've been to marriage counselor after marriage counselor. I said, man, there's something, man, when you have to go after marriage counselor, after domestic, something's wrong, man. I mean, you say, well, that's why we're going to marriage counselor. But you shouldn't have to keep going to marriage counselors the rest of your marriage.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Amen.
Somebody has to give.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to give in. And they kept going to marriage counseling, and they come to talk to me, and I said, my Lord, you've been to, well, how many marriage counselors you been to? And they had to think for a few minutes to think how many times they've been to marriage counseling and marriage seminars. And I said, man, you know, the Bible tells you, love one another.
Amen.
Love, I mean, it's simple. Shut up, love each other.
Amen.
Be friends. And that's my philosophy. I mean, some people make it more complicated, but I'm kind of simple in my mind. You know, I think things simple. And I say, hey, it can be fixed.
Amen.
I mean, shut up, get along, and hug each other.
Amen.
Make your wife laugh. Let her call you stupid once in a while. Amen. That's what my wife does. So, but man, they fought like cats and dogs. They had money. My wife and I went over there one night, and the kids were sitting behind the wall, and they were watching. They sent them to bed, and the kids are sitting there watching. And my wife got behind. I said, look, man, it's simple. Look. And I said, she's over here. He's over there. I said, watch. I went up to my wife, and I hugged her. I said, look. And I started kissing her. I said, ooh, baby. And I started messing with her and made them laugh. And I was going, ooh, you soft. Yeah, I'm going on like that and messing around. And they laughed a little bit. So I said, now you all try it. When's the last time you hugged each other? When's the last time you just hugged each other? And they both looked at each other like that was foreign. I said, hug each other. They wouldn't do it. So Linda got behind his wife. I got behind him. And we had to shove them in each other. It was like this. Like two kids that's been in a fight. I said, put your arms around him. Put your other arm around him. Now kiss her. I said, come on, man. Y'all mind me a bunch of kids. And the kids were laughing. They were standing at the wall looking around. They said, go to bed. The kids were laughing at it. They thought it was funny. I thought we got past it. I thought maybe they're going to be all right. They went down the road, bought another piece of property, built a big, beautiful home. He showed it to me. He had a park in the back. I mean, this guy had a park. He had hookups for motorhomes in the back. He bought 30-some acres, built a big barns and all that. Beautiful. I mean, beautiful. They got fighting over that. He was worried about her getting everything, and she was worried about him taking everything. And just fighting, man. No real love. I said, what happened to the love that y'all had? When you had nothing. You had nothing. They ended up divorced. The wife's been here a couple times. The church has helped her out. The kids went bad. So can the kids get right? Yeah. Mama, my Lord, man, I've seen that over and over and over again. But the Bible says Jonathan and David had a love that was knitted together. Their souls were knitted together. You know, you hear people so quickly say, I found my soulmate. I don't even like to hear that. I don't even like to hear that word. I found my soulmate. That's stupid. You say, well, that's what we say. Well, fine. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call it so stupid. But I found my soulmate. And then they divorced in a year. What, she take half of your soul or what? Stupid stuff. People can't get along. And I realize the stress of this life and the pressures of this life will work on you. It'll work on you. It'll beat you up. And if you take it out on each other, God have mercy, man. You've got to be, you know what? My wife is my friend. You better be friends before you get married. And if you're married, you ought to be friends. And if you want to go down and hang around with the good old boys and think they're more of a friend than your wife, there's something wrong with you. Amen. I want my wife to go with me wherever I go. I want her to see what I see. I want her to enjoy what I enjoy. I want her to see that thing. I pray, Lord, don't let her die before me. And I don't want to die before her because I know she'll move 15 men in the house and then it'll be all over and I'll come back. No, I'm kidding.
Not with me there,
she ain't. Yeah. We teach each other about that stuff. She said, I know right after I'm dead, you're going to move somebody else in.
Nobody to take it.
I said, you got to be kidding me. No, you got to be kidding me.
It's getting deep right here.
Yeah. These guys hear it all the time. No, but I said, look, man, I pray the Lord take us both together. And I pray that we can live to the rapture so we can go together.
Amen.
Why? Because I want to serve the rest of my days out, her and I both, serving God.
Amen.
That ought to be the way a husband and wife ought to want to be.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Live my days and your days out till the Lord comes back. I don't know how I got on. I'm talking about something else. But living your days out with your mate. You know, the Bible says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth.
Amen.
You know my wife is? She's the wife of my youth. And I want to rejoice with her all the days of my life. And you ought to want to see that happen. Now, the Bible says in verse 4 that Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. It's a type of Jesus Christ. Given to David. And gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and his bow and his girdle. Said man wore a girdle? Well, I guess more for, it was for a belt like. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Now, guys, the guy was 16 years old. And he went out as one of the soldiers and ended up being a captain. And he behaved himself wisely. A young man can be wise.
Yeah.
We like to mess with young teachers. Oh, they're stupid. They're crazy. They don't have no sense. They're brain dead and all that. But a young man or young woman can be wise if they want to be. And you've got to want it. And I believe you've got to want it. And it says, and he behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. Wow. You know, that has to be a slap in his brother's face. He had older brothers, bigger, stronger, better looking, or so-called, than him. And Saul said, you're over all the men of war. They got to obey you. Now, brother, sister, I'll tell you what, that'd be hard to swallow right there. And that's always hard to swallow. But thank God the Lord's given this church some good young men,
amen,
some good young women.
Amen.
I thank God for them.
Amen.
They're trying to serve God. They're trying to be wise. And ladies, y'all be wise. Just be wise women, young women. And the Bible says, and it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet David, meet the king and Saul, King Saul, with tablets and with joy, with instruments of music. And the women started saying something that made Saul mad, made the old man mad. Why? Because a young man came along that was a hero and started doing a job. You know what? We've got some young men, like I said, here. There's some young men now in the ministry that are serving God. And, you know, we look behind, Brother Mark, and Mark called me the other day, and we was talking about it. He says, you know, thank God we got some, man, he said, looking back, I was kind of thinking, my Lord God, we got a mess when it comes to some of the young men that's going to be serving God in the future if the Lord tarries. And then he called me the other day, we was talking about it. He said, man, you know what? God does have some good young men out there. That's trying to do a job and trying to serve God. He said, thank God for them. And they're in their 30s now. These are young men in their 30s trying to step up and take on the battle. And boy, thank God for them. Amen. I'm 60. Brother Squiggy, 63. And other men, Brother Ron just turned 60. Other men and friends of ours, the guys that come here and preach, they're in their 60s. But thank God we can look back and say, hey, thank God. Jesse's 40. Josh is 30. Samson's 40. But thank God they've got some men, Chris, my nephew, and my son-in-law, the other men, that Cody Zorn is one of my favorite preachers now.
Amen.
And he's in his 30s. God raising up some men. And it says, and the women answered one to another. They were looking at each other, and they answered one to another, and they played and said, Saul has slain 1,000, and David his 10,000. And what the devil tries to do is try to get the older guys upset with the younger guys. Now, if the younger guys are stupid and doing stupid stuff, then that's one thing. But if they're trying to do what's right and trying to live up and stop trying to be like the world and act like the world, trying to do the world methods and the way the world does it, then we can be, thank God, that everything's going to be all right. Amen. We can trust the Lord's going to take care of there. And the Bible says, and Saul was very wroth and saying displeased him. And he said, they have described unto David 10,000. He said, they gave David 10,000, only gave me 1,000. Jealousy steps in. And when jealousy steps in, my God, who can stand before it? Who can stand before envy and jealousy? Jealousy will step in the church. Envy will step in the church. It'll cause division. It'll cause trouble. And it's ugly. It's an ugly head. If we can knit together as a church to love each other, bear one another's burdens, like the Bible tells us. When a brother or sister is going through something, start praying for them. And I know some are closer than others. We got brothers and sisters that are closer than others. That's why I encourage people, get in church. Get in church, let people know who you are. I mean, man, be in there and serve God together. And when everybody gets their shoulder to the work, and we look around and say, hey, that brother's right with us, man. It's just like in a battle, holding a line, knowing that he's not going to flinch. He's going to keep on serving God. Boy, I tell you what, it does everybody's heart good. They turn around and say, hey, man, I like this guy.
Amen.
I like this sister. Yep. And I'm going to tell you something. This church cannot be what it is without the women.
Amen.
You ladies, thank God for you. I mean that with all my heart. I thank God for the women that's standing,
amen,
that live for God. We need you.
Amen.
We need you. And I'm proud of being a pastor of some ladies that have some guts. They have some wisdom, and they try to help the young ladies. And that's another thing, older ladies, be an example to the younger ladies. The Bible says that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Be an example. Teach them how to love their husbands. Amen. Teach them how to love their children. Amen. Teach things. You teach by example. That's the way we live. As a church, that's the example. They look around. And I'm going to tell you something. If I had these kids stand up right now, the teenagers and the kids, and say, who's a good example to you? I guarantee you they got somebody on their mind. I guarantee you. And if I say, who's a bad example? I guarantee you they got somebody on their mind. You don't want to be that bad example. You want to be that one they say, I appreciate her. I appreciate him. They don't try to get out of anything. They just put their shoulder to it. They want to help out. They want to be a blessing. They go out. They do what needs to be done. Boy, that's a blessing. As a pastor, that's a blessing. And the Bible says that envy stepped in. Look at this. And the very guy, now listen to me, the very guy that he envied is the guy that helped him. And the very people that you envy and jealous over, God will put it right back in your face. It'd be the people that help you.
Yep.
Amen.
That's right.
That's the way the Lord does things. I've seen God do it over and over and over again. The people that you're jealous of, the people that you envy, is the ones that God will use to help you.
That's right. Amen.
And make you eat the crow. I like what Uncle Billy used to say. He said, boy, he said, you better eat the crow while it's hot. Because when it gets cold, it's hard to go down. And it's hard to go down. You better eat it while it's hot. If you got envy and you got jealousy in your heart on somebody, get it right. Who can stand before envy? Jealousy. Look what happens. Saul was mad and jealous at David. And the Bible says in verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul wanted to hear anything bad that David would have done so he could accuse him. He was looking for any reason to say, yeah, I knew it. Yeah, I knew it. I knew he was going to do it. I knew he was going to mess up. I knew it. Saul was looking for any opportunity. Saul even said, I want you to marry my daughter. I got a nice daughter that I want you to marry. And he was hoping that she'd be his downfall. What kind of father-in-law is that? I hope you marry my daughter so she can take you out.
Yeah.
What a thing, man. Marry my daughter so she can, you know, she going to ruin your life. And I'll be so tickled. That's what Saul said.
Yeah.
What a father-in-law that is. I mean, everybody has jokes about mother-in-laws. But what a father-in-law. Hey, what about this? What about a father-in-law that's trying to kill you every time you turn around?
Yeah.
This guy was constantly trying to kill his son-in-law. I know my son-in-law, Ben, I'll tell this, Rachel and Ben, when they first got married, had a little squabble. Now, they get along good, now, but they had a little squabble. Rachel came back home. Ben probably be mad at me telling this. And they came back to the house, and Rachel moved back to the house. And that usually happens sometimes, once in a while. And she moved back to the house. So Ben come by the house, knocked on the door, says, Rachel here? And I was cleaning a gun. I had my .45, and I my brother had .45. I turned out and said, yeah, come on in. I went, click, click. And he walked in. He went, what are you doing with that? I said, I'll just clean it in case I have to use it. And I was messing with him. And I started laughing. And then he was, you know, like, oh, man. They haven't had any problems ever since. Yeah. Marriage counseling. Yeah. Look at here. In verse 10. I'll close that. I just wanted to give you a little something here. And it came to pass on the morrow that an evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, and as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin. Here's a guy that's helping him, a guy that's getting a bad spirit away from him. He gets so jealous, so envious. He's sitting there with this javelin. He's just sitting there. I'm sure he's taking this javelin and jamming it in the floor and looking at David, thinking, this guy's going to take my job. This guy. And he takes that javelin and tries to stick and strike David with it, and God protect him. Look at this. And it says, it came on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with the hand, and as the other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. My Lord, twice. And the Bible says, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. God, if God's on you, you're going to find people is going to be envious, they're going to be jealous, and they're going to try to do you in. But God's always going to protect you.
Yeah.
God's always going to take care of you.
Amen.
And if you'll just trust him, and if you, this 2017, I'm going to tell you, I believe this, I believe it with all my heart, it's going to get a little tougher. You said, well, we got Saul in the office. No, we got Trump in the office now.
Yeah, right.
Saul, yeah, maybe a Saul. But you think, oh, no, but there's spirits, man, and there's unclean spirits. The Bible says in verse 13, and it says, therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself, what?
Wisely.
Even though his king was trying to kill him, even though his king was jealous of him, even though his king envied him, David still didn't act a fool. David had every reason. He could have said, well, look what he's trying to do to me. Well, he's trying to kill me. I ain't going back in there and pray for him no more. You got to be kidding me. David behaved himself wisely. Kept on. God knitted Jonathan, Saul's son, and you read all the way through there, you'll find Jonathan was the one always watching out for David.
Yep.
Always there. And even Jonathan said this. When he said, find out what your dad's going to do, he said, I'll find out, I'll tell you. And he goes out to a field, and he said, if I find out my dad's intentions to kill you, he said, I'm going to have my armor bearer, I'm going to shoot an arrow, and I'm going to say, it's further out. You need to make haste. That was to warn David to run. And the Bible says that he told his armor bearer to leave, and they were in the field, and they both fell on their knees, and David said, what sin have I done? He said, kill me yourself. Kill me. And Jonathan and David hugged each other and cried. I could see that scene, man.
Yep.
Out there in that field, crying. Men crying, hugging each other. And then Jonathan says to David, surely I know that you're going to be the king. And I'll help you. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, that's real love.
Amen.
And folks, we need to love one another. Not envy one another, not jealous of one another. I'm not saying that's going on. I'm just saying that's what we need to do.
Yep.
If we want to succeed, we want to see fruit. We want to see God move. How many of y'all want to see God move in 2017? More than any other time in the history of Faith Baptist Church.
Amen.
Boy, if we can do that, we'll see. We'll see God move.
Amen.
I was telling somebody the other day, I believe we're going to see a harvest. Long as we don't get our feelings involved and get hurt, so all that stuff, all that crazy stuff the devil tries to bring in.
Amen.
He's going to try to get young people fighting each other, parents over the young people fighting over that.
Yep.
He's going to try to get all kinds of stuff going on. And you got to recognize who it is trying to do it.
Amen.
You better recognize. If not, you'll be out.
Yep.
And you ruin your life. And you got to recognize that thing. Have a love for God. That Jonathan took off his robe, took off his armor, everything, and put it on David. That's what the Lord did for us. gave us his righteousness. Took our sins, gave us his righteousness. I tell you what, he's worth serving. He's worth praising. He's worth to have a church in Smyrna, Delaware, called Faith Baptist Church, to win people to Jesus Christ and do all we can for his glory. He's worth it. Souls of men is worth it. Young people, young kids, he's worth it. Father, thank you again tonight, God, for your mercy.